Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mean Green Comic Machine. This is episode number 11. Such a milestone. Milestone? Did I say milestone? Milestone, episode number 11. I hope you guys enjoyed the last episode with all about the Amazing Spider-Man. Hopefully you guys went out to see the movie. Let me know if you guys enjoyed it. If you didn't enjoy it, I enjoyed it. I'm not going to talk about it just because I was happy with the way it went. Certain things, just because I really thought they weren't going to do things that way, but they ended up doing it. But I'm not going to mention it just because I want to give people a chance to still go and see the movie. But here we are, another week, another show. And this week, I kind of just want to talk to you guys about a few things. I just kind of want to sit here and chat with you guys. Talk about some things that I'm into right now, and one of them being Batman. So we're going to go back and visit Detective Comics number 27. Now, if you're a Batman fan or a comic book fan, you know what that's all about. And another thing that, or topic that I want to talk about is the $6 million man. Not a lot of people, unless you are in your early to mid 40s, or maybe late, in your 40s, I would just say in your 40s, you know who the $6 million man is. You were probably a fan of him at once and stuff like that. And I recently, maybe a year ago, I discovered, I always kind of knew who he was, but I never really got into the story. But I want to kind of talk about him too, and because he has his toys, his comics, and all that good stuff. So we're going to touch on that too. But yeah, so sounds good. You guys all aboard? Let's get this train a-moving. Detective Comics number 27, released May 1939. Starting this issue, The Amazing and Unique Adventures of the Batman. The Batman by Robert Kane. The Case of the Chemical Syndicate. The Batman, a mysterious and adventurous figure fighting for righteousness and apprehending the wrongdoer in his lone battle against the evil forces of society. His identity remains unknown. So that's right, folks. We're going to talk about the famous Detective Comics number 27, the first time we see this Batman, created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger, even though Bill Finger's not credited for it, but we all know Bill Finger had a lot more to do with it than Robert Kane, or Bob Kane as we know him. But let's just talk about this. Let's little chat about this issue number 27. Now, I want to say from the start, after I finished the book, I asked myself, I'm like, reading this back in the day, if I was a comic book fan, would I have liked this book? Would I have liked this Batman character, or would I have waited a few more issues to see if he gets exciting or not? Now, this story might have been exciting back in 1939. I don't know. I'd have to put myself in that time frame. I'd have to know what was going on in those years as far as comic books go. What kind of things were happening around me? And is this something that, if I was a comic book fan, is this something that I would have picked up? Now, reading The Batman, appearance here of Batman. we don't get a lot of characters, because we know later on in the timeline, in the continuities, when Robin came out, the Joker came out, a lot of these characters came out. So the only two characters that we know from Batman now in the continuity is Commissioner Gordon and Bruce Wayne, they are the only two characters that I'm familiar with from the whole story of Batman and his history. No other characters came out. We get no Boy Wonder, we get nothing. We just get these random criminals that are doing some bad things, and the Batman shows up to stop them. Now let me read these first. I'm gonna try not to get into the story, not to spoil too much of the story for you. This comic is only 7 pages long, so it'd be kind of hard to not spoil it. But I won't give away too, at least the main story. I won't give away too much from it. But I do want to talk about certain panels here, and these are the first, three, four panels that it opens up with. The home of the Commissioner Gordon, who at the moment is entertaining his young socialite friend Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne. Well, Commissioner, anything exciting happening these days? Commissioner Gordon. No. Oh, except this fellow they call the Batman. Puzzles me. The next panel is Commissioner Gordon on the phone. Hello? What's that? Lambert? The Chemical King? Stabbed to death? His son's fingerprints on the knife? I'll be right over. And this is where it gets funny for me, because the Commissioner Gordon, he turns over to Bruce Wayne and says, "Talk about something exciting. Old Lambert has been murdered at his mansion. I'm going there now. Like to come along?" He's like, "I have to go do my job. And there's the dead person, and there's some bad things that went on. But hey, we're hanging out. You want to come with me and check out this crime scene and this dead person?" And Bruce Wayne is there, because they're both sitting there smoking. Bruce Wayne's sitting there with his pipe, just puffing along. And he says, "Oh, well, nothing else to do. Might as well." It's like it's nothing, like they've done this before. Like Commissioner Gordon has asked Bruce Wayne to other crime scenes. So I thought that was pretty funny. It was kind of like, yeah, sure, we'll go see this crime. We'll go see what happened. And it's funny because the whole time you see Bruce Wayne, he's in the other panels, he's just puffing on his pipe, just kind of chilling, just relaxing, just kind of listening to what's going on. And then we get the first panel where we see Batman in action in the comics. This is 1, 2, 3, 4 panels that I want to read to you. And this is the kind of like the main one of the main fight scenes in this issue. Let me read to you what's going on. As the two, so we get two men. Let me kind of show. We get two men. They're on the roof, and they kind of doing what they're doing their crime, and so that's kind of the whole setup. As the two men leer over their conquest, they do not notice a third menacing figure standing behind them. It is a Batman. The two criminals yell out, "The Batman!" The Batman lashes out with a terrific right. He grabs his second adversary in a deadly headlock, and with a mighty heave, sends the burly criminal flying over space. Flying through space. The Batman swiftly picks up the paper that the murderer stole from Stephen Crane's safe. So it's like there's really not much to it. It's like these criminals are like no match for Batman. It's like, bam, just right cross here. I grab you, I throw you off the roof, and that's it. That you're done for. You got no match. You're no match for Batman. I want to talk about the art a little bit. You really don't get too much. You don't get too much about the Gotham. Like nowadays, you think about Gotham and you imagine these big buildings, and it's dark, and there's like it's never daylight in Gotham. There's criminals all over the place, but it's here in this story. I mean, they never really say they're in Gotham, but the artwork, you kind of don't get too much. You kind of just get the main characters that are speaking in the panel, and then you get like this colorful black background. Like you get a purple, and then you'll have Commissioner Gordon talking, or a white or yellow, and just kind of the main characters. You'll have like a few props, like a couch or books or a table or something like that. And we're used to seeing Batman fighting in the tall buildings, using his grappling hook to swing around the place, to glide, using all his cool utility belt gadgets. And as I mentioned before, the scene where it's on the house, that's like where the whole kind of thing takes place. And they're at in this house, and it's like these two houses next to each other. There's nowhere Batman could hide, and he's just fighting on the roof. And it's like, to me, it seems like daylight might be night out, but because I'm assuming they're trying to make it night out because you do see if some lights on, but I guess we'll let it slide. We'll let it slide. But yeah, so you don't really get too much of the darkness that we're used to, the crime, the, you know, just all that Batman thing that you expect in a comic book. Now, one thing I will tell you, we did see a Batmobile. We know there has been many a Batmobile throughout the Batman continuity. And in this first issue, we do see a Batmobile. And it's nice and red, and it looks like a Chevy. I don't know, would it be a Chevy coupe or a Ford coupe or something like that? And you just see Batman driving inside, and like, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's normal, you know. I'm just driving around in my costume, fighting criminals and just driving around in this car. It's no big. My license plate is on the back, but hey, whatever. So after the whole shenanigans go down, there's the last few panels that I want to read for you. The next day, young Bruce Wayne is again a visitor at the commissioner's house. So we never get a view of of Gotham PD. Commissioner's always working from his house. He's a stay-at-home cop, a stay-at-home commissioner. He works from his house. That's where he gets his calls. At the commissioner's house, who has just finished telling Bruce the latest exploits of the Batman. And then Rogers said the Batman went through the skylight. A very lovely fairy tale, Bruce Wayne says. Commissioner Gordon, commissioner indeed. After Bruce Wayne has gone, Bruce Wayne is a nice young chap, but he certainly must lead a boring life. Seems disinterested in everything, Commissioner Gordon says. The next panel, you get a door. It's kind of slightly open. Bruce Wayne returns home to his room. A little later, his door opens slowly. Wait, I read that all wrong. A little later, his door slowly opens and reveals its occupant. If the commissioner could see his young friend now, he'd be amazed to learn that he is the Batman. Finished. Finito. Watch for a new thrilling Batman story next month. So that was it, kids. There was not too much. You got some crimes. What's the word I'm looking for? What's the word? You had some criminal activity going on in this book. Batman showed up. He fought. Really not too much. I think this could have easily been... it felt like a cop book, like a detective. I guess, well, Detective Comics, there you go. So it kind of does feel Batman-ish. But again, if I would have been back in the day, would this book would have been something that I enjoyed? I don't know. Because ever since I can remember, I have loved Batman. I got into Batman late 80s, early 90s. 1989, Tim Burton's Batman was when I was just like, yes, Batman. I freaking love Batman. Going to see the movie at the Cineplex in downtown, not Downtown Disney, Universal Studios here in LA at the City Walk. At the time, there wasn't a City Walk. It was just the movie theater and stuff and some few stores. Maybe I don't remember too much. I just remember going to see Batman, and I was excited. And that was an experience. That was an awesome experience. The people that went to see the movie were just great, and they just made it a whole lot better for me. The experience a whole lot better watching Batman. They applauded. They yelled. It was all great stuff. So from there on out, I was just like, yes, I love this Batman. But yeah, so it's been 75 years since this issue came out. It is Batman's 75th birthday this year. So happy birthday to Batman. It is May, so 75 years ago this issue came out. And very cool. I'm glad Batman was introduced to us. I'm glad he is around. I just love Batman. I love Batman. But yeah, if you guys have read this story before, this issue, let me know what you guys thought. Did you love it? Did you hate it? And you could do all that by visiting my Facebook page, facebook.com/the MGCM, or my Twitter, that's at the MGCM. So let me know if you guys love this book, this issue. If you guys like this issue, what were your thoughts being comic book fans or Batman fans, whatever, what were your thoughts on this issue? If you have read it, if you haven't read it, do you plan on reading it? I mean, I kind of, one day when I was sitting there, I was like, I wonder if I could find number 27 on Comixology, and they had it, and I read it, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I read it. Now I could, you know, say as a Batman fan, yeah, I've read issue number 27. I didn't pay millions for it, but I read it in a digital copy. But anyways, it was all good stuff. Batman Detective Comics number 27. I want to do a little shout out time. It's time for a little shout out. Don't forget to go over to check out my other podcast, Clever Fools. You can find us at facebook.com/the Clever Fools Podcast. We're also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all that good stuff. And don't forget to head on over to Evolution of the Apocalypse. Because if you really want to survive and not be scared, well, you're going to be scared, but less scared, you know, kind of be the alpha. You're going to take charge of your group, and you're going to survive in the apocalypse. Then you want to listen to Evolution of the Apocalypse. You're going to know what the heck to do. And you could have all the ideas. You could be the Rick of your group and not the not the Beth of your group. But yeah, so head on over to evolutionoftheapocalypse.com. They're also on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all that good stuff. Check them out. Tell them I sent you. And let's not forget about my sponsors, 87rabbits at Etsy.com. And Ivan's Toy Box on Etsy.com. Go over there for some sweetness. Pick yourself up some sweet vintage toys. Some comic book buttons or some jewelry for that special person in your life. So head on over to 87rabbits at Etsy.com and Ivan'sToyBox.com. If you like YouTube, hey, you could check me out on YouTube also, Mean Green Comic Machine. I do my new comic book day hauls, comic book ramblings. I talk about toys on there, all that good stuff. But also check out my buddy, Brian Starner. Check out his show, Toy Nuts. And you will find him on YouTube under Brian Starner. And his show that he does weekly is Toy Nuts, where he reviews toys. He does hauls, goes to the thrifty stores and see what he could pick up. So check him out, Brian Starner, over on YouTube. He's the man. So the $6 million man, who is the $6 million man? A lot of people my age really don't know too much about the $6 million man. Just kind of jokes I guess they've heard on like on The Simpsons. I know he kind of came out on The Simpsons a while ago. Just like those little quick things that they do. And they just kind of know that he does the whole sound of all that good stuff. But I have recently become a big fan of the $6 million man, and I wanna talk about him a little bit. A lot of you guys out there, some of you, usually the people that know more about him are the people that grew up back in the 70s when the show was on. Those people are usually like in the late 30s to, you know, late 30s and up. But yeah, let's go into the $6 million man a little bit. So the $6 million man, the first episode was shown on January 18th of 1974. And the final episode was shown on March 6th of 1978. So they had a good five season run. All those seasons are available on DVD, and you could get them at Target. At least the first three, the season 1, 2, 3, I know you could get them at Target, and they're about $12, so they're not too bad. Now you might be like, why would I go pick up this old TV show, this old I mean, first of all, in my opinion, I love a lot of old TV shows. I love The Twilight Zone. I love Six Million Dollar Man. I love Family, the Addams Family, the Munsters. I love all those old shows. Gilligan's Island. I love Lucy. I am a huge fan of all these old shows. Now, Six Million Dollar Man, I have always been interested in going to movie studios, TV studios, and just it fascinates me. Just the being in that area, just seeing how they do these things have always fascinated me. Now, why didn't I go into that sort of career? I don't know. Sometimes I wish I did. I don't know. It's just I've always been like fascinated by it, and I guess I never really thought like, oh, people actually do this, you know, you could get a job in this. But anyways, I don't want to go into that. As a kid, I still do now, I love going to Universal Studios, and I love riding their backlot, the tram tour. I love doing that tour. I think that is awesome, the most awesome thing ever, and especially after you hit 21, they let you drink on it, they let you eat on it, they have beers for you right before you get on. You have to buy them, and then they have pretzels, so it's like grab a beer, grab a pretzel, you get on this tour. I love it. I used to know the whole thing by heart, like especially what the tour guide would say. I used to know it by heart, and but nowadays it's been changing, and because of course like NBC Universal has a whole bunch of new TV shows, so the kids nowadays are gonna recognize these new TV shows instead. Like when I was going back in the day, back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I started going, they would talk about the TV shows, what is it, Mikhail's Navy, and how they would shoot Mikhail's Navy, how they shot the the Creature from the Black Lagoon, and you pass by this area where the Creature from the Black Lagoon was shot, and to me that is freaking amazing, because I love these old movies also, especially these monster movies, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, Phantom of the Opera. I love all these old movies. I have Frankenstein's monster tattooed on my arm, Boris Karloff. So to me, it was just, as a kid, it was mind-blowing to go through these sets where, oh my god, the creature from the Black Lagoon swam in this little lake here. This is where he walked. This is where he just, this is where he was at. This is where Frankenstein walked the village. This is where they tried to burn him. This is where I went down. This is where the Invisible Man hung out by this waterfall right here. This is where Quasimodo from the Hunchback of Notre Dame was tied down. This is where he was chained down back in these movies from the early 40s. This is where a lot of stuff has happened. So it just blew my mind. I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, other shows they would mention would be like, was it Kojak? Was Big Valley, and then movies like The Great Outdoors. Love The Great Outdoors. They had the cabin there, you know, where John Candy shoots the bear, and the bear is like bald and stuff, all that stuff there. So it just blew me away. On the backlog tour, when you're going, you go over this bridge. You used to. You don't do it anymore. But you used to. They used to take you over this bridge, and the bridge would drop. Like, it would drop about, like, 2 feet. So when you're on the tram, it would just drop, and it would scare the heck out of you because you're like, oh, my God, this bridge just gave out. Especially if it's your first time. Even when you're riding it, you don't know when it's going to happen, and it just happens. But they used to talk about this TV show, The $6 Million Man, and make the noise. The tour guide would make the noise, and they're like, yeah, he'd be running here, and he'd be jumping off of the bridge into the water. And then along, also in the route, in the tour route, they would go through this tunnel. They used it for quite a few movies, but I remember them talking about the $6 Million Man there. Now, the inside of the tunnel, the walls turned, so it kind of gave you this effect, like you're kind of turning upside down, like you're tipping over. And so they would say that the $6 Million Man had an episode where he had to run through this tunnel, and it was hard for him because he kept falling over and he kept tripping and falling, and it was just hard for him to do till he finally got it. So that is my earliest, what's the word? When I first met the Six Million Dollar Man, when they started talking about this, I would hear about it from, like, family, from my mom, because she, when I talk to my mom about these old TV shows, it's funny, because she's like, oh, I used to love the show, too. She's like, oh, you know, me growing up, as when I would find these shows, like, The Twilight Zone, I'd be like, man, this is a cool show. My mom would catch me watching them, and she'd be like, oh, I used to love these shows back in the day. But, yeah, so, anyways, we'll fast forward to about a year ago. I've always loved toys, so I started collecting toys, and I was collecting the Ninja Turtles, the stuff that I grew up with, and then I started meeting these older guys that are in their 40s that are also collecting their, like, childhood toys, and I was introduced to a new toys, and one toy that I fell in love with was a $6 million man. I thought he was just so cool with his bionic grip, his bionic eye, the little bionics that come with the figure, and just the other figures like Bigfoot and a Maskatron.
Is that the $6 million man?
No,
it's Maskatron the robot.
Here's Steve Austin.
At last we meet.
Look out, Steve.
Maskatron will conquer you.
Take that, Maskatron, and that.
Ow!
And that.
Steve
will beat him every time.
No, he won't. Maskatron will be back in another disguise.
Maskatron, new from Kenner. $6 million man sold separately.
An Oscar Goldman. So I was like, man, I love these. So till right now, I have a $6 million man. I have a Oscar Goldman. I have a Bionic Woman. I have the Bionic Woman's Bionic Beauty Salon. There's still things I need. But as far as the characters, I have those three. I am in the search of a Maskatron and a Bigfoot, because Bigfoot is the most expensive figure to get. I mean, you can't find them under $175. So hopefully one day I'll be able to pick them up. Maskatron, I've seen them go anywhere from 50, not even, like 25 to 100 bucks. So it depends, you know, if you want them boxed and stuff. I like my figures loose, so I'm not really looking for them in a boxed, because I want to display them this way. But yeah, so $6 million man. I started watching the TV show. I bought the series on the first DVD just because it was like $12, and I loved it. I fell in love with the show, and I draw. When I do my homework, a lot of it is on the computer, and I have a 2-monitor setup. So on one of my monitors, I have a $6 million man playing in the background, and it just, like, inspires me. It helps me out with my work, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, when I see him in action, it's like, yeah, I want to do this. And it gets me more in the mood of like, drawing. It just helps me out, so it's really cool. So I've had, like, good interaction with the $6 million man. But, yeah, the TV show, I love the TV show. If I was in the 70s growing up, and I was around when this TV show, oh, man, I would be all about it. They have Lee Majors starred as a $6 million man, and I think he was perfect for this role. I couldn't really picture anybody else in it, just because, I don't know, I just couldn't do it. Like, when it's like, yeah, it's perfect. Lee Majors, $6 million man. And then they have Richard Anderson, who played Oscar Goldman. They had two Rudy Wells, which is a doctor that put $6 million man together. One is Alan Oppenheimer. He's the one that comes, he's the one you see now. The first one was kind of in the first few episodes. I don't remember his name. And then they have John Saxon. He was Maskatron. He came out and played the first time that Maskatron came out. And Maskatron is awesome. There's this other doctor. I think it's Tellerman. I don't remember. But he's trying to build, like, a bionic man that's better than Steve Austin. And so he builds this full robot. Like, he's full-on robot. There's nothing human about him like the $6 million man. Steve Austin just has a bionic arm, bionic legs, and a bionic eye. But Maskatron, you could take his face off and put any face. So there's episodes where he comes out as John Saxon, John Saxon's character, who is a friend of Steve Austin. there's an episode where he comes out as Oscar Goldman, and I believe there's an episode where he comes out as Steve Austin. I haven't finished all the seasons yet. I'm on season 3. Still loving it. I'm excited for season 3 because this is where Bigfoot comes out, the bionic Bigfoot. And the Bigfoot was played by Andre the Giant. I've seen cuts of it on YouTube where the $6 million man and the Bigfoot fight and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to these few episodes. I believe it's 2 episodes. And in these past few episodes, we just had the introduction to the bionic woman, who is played by Lindsay Wagner. Later on, she gets her own spinoff show, The Bionic Woman. I haven't seen that show. I'll probably check it out most likely after I finish the $6 million man run. Now, I do want to say this show, it was filmed in the 70s, so there is a lot of cheesy parts. It just makes you laugh, though. It makes you laugh because it's part of the TV show. It's like watching the 66 Batman. You're like, what the? Like, you just have to laugh. It's like, it doesn't really put you off the show. You're like, what? That looks retarded. Like, there's an episode where $6 million man, he fights an alligator or a crocodile. And it's like, you could totally tell it's like rubber. And it's just like laying there as he's wrestling it. Just the way things are shot just to make it look like he's actually doing these things. But it's great. I love it. I love everything about it. I'm not going to pick at these little things. After all, it was the 70s and they did their best and they succeeded. Now, recently I discovered that, there was a comic book run. This show is about comic books, so I'm going to dip into the comic book a little bit. Kevin Smith wrote a series, a comic book series titled The Bionic Man. The Bionic Man? And the Bionic Woman or something? Or was it just the Bionic Man? And Kevin Smith wrote those. I haven't checked them out. I do plan to check them out. But right now, Dynamite Entertainment is putting out season 6 of the $6 Million Man. And we are this month, issue 3 will come out. So we're 3 issues in. Now, the awesome thing, the most beautiful thing about this comic is that Alex Ross is doing the main covers. So these covers of the Bionic Man, $6 Million Man, are gorgeous. They're beautiful. Especially the first issue of $6 Million Man Season 6. You have Maskatron in the background and he has his face off, and Steve Austin is like ripping through the page, so he's ripping through Maskatron, and his knuckles are like scraped open, so you can see like the bionics. Some of his arm is cut, so you can see the bionics, and he's just running in his red tracksuit, and it's a beautiful, beautiful cover. I purchased the book. I haven't opened the book. I haven't flipped through the book. It's still bag and boarded, and I will be framing that issue just because it's so beautiful, and it's bringing back the $6 million man with this season 6. So it's right after the TV show ends, kind of like what they did with Buffy and what's that other Firefly? What's the TV show? I don't remember. Serenity is it Firefly? Firefly was a TV show, right? So kind of like what they're doing that with comics is it's what they're doing with $6 Million Man. Now, I'm hoping this run will be a good run. It does sell out at my comic book store, so I'm hoping that people are picking it up. I don't know how many issues my comic book store picks up, but so I'm hoping that the sales are good, and I'm hoping that this will go on for a while, at least so they could finish season 6. I mean, it would be awesome. If they could go more than season 6, that would be awesome. Now, the comic is written by Jim Kuhlrich. It's K-U-H-O-R-I-C. So Kuhlrich. And the art is done by Juan Antonio Ramirez. The colors are by Fran Gamboa. letters by Joshua Cozine, and the main cover, like I said, by Alex Ross. There are variant covers. One is by Ken Hazer, where you see it's kind of like a cartoony Six-Man Dollar Man. They kind of look like little kids, almost like chibis, I guess I would say, maybe. Not so much chibi, but kind of like that style. And then there's another variant cover. In the last issue, I saw a different variant cover that I didn't see for the first book. And that was a pretty nice cover. I don't know who did that one, but there's also another variant cover, which is like a still, like a picture from the TV show. So like the one I'm holding right now is $6 Million Man. This is issue one, but it's Steve Austin like getting out of or getting into one of the jets. It's because Steve Austin is Colonel Steve Austin. He's in the Air Force, so that works for NASA and all that good stuff. But I personally, now it might be a little biased because I love the TV show, but I was really hoping, I was like, I hope this comic doesn't disappoint me when I opened it up. So I opened up, started reading it, and I loved it. I thought it was really good. It feels like the TV show. They start you off with the page with the way the TV show opens. Steve Austin, astronaut. A man barely alive.
A man barely alive.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
So when I read that and they showed the panels, I was like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. You have Oscar Goldman, you have Steve Austin in the first issue, and they start right away with one of his missions. Oscar needs Steve Austin to go on one of his missions, and the beautiful part about it is that in the second issue, Maskatron comes out. So one of the villain is Maskatron, and he is actually wearing the face of Steve. Was it Steve Austin? I believe it was Steve Austin. I have to go and double check. But if this comic feels like the TV show, I love it. I think it's awesome. I'm glad that they have this comic. Something I look forward to picking up every month. Especially with Alex Ross covers. It is beautiful. So I guess for me, I just want to tell you guys, if you guys see the comic, check it out. Or have you guys seen the TV show? There might be some of you that are older out there that actually saw the TV show when it was on. So I want to hear all about it. Let me know what your experience was with the $6 Million Man. Did you love the $6 Million Man? Did you hate the $6 Million Man? Were you in the middle? Did you not care? Whatever. Have you never heard of the $6 Million Man? Because I actually had encountered somebody who had never heard of the $6 Million Man. And I told them, I was like, oh, dude. I was like, talk to somebody that's in their 40s about it. And they'll probably tell you all about it if they liked it. If not, then they'll probably shit all over it. But yeah, maybe you know somebody around you that's in that age range. Ask them all about the $6 Million Man. Ask them if they were fans of the $6 Million Man and what they thought about it. But yeah, like I said, if you have ever touched on the $6 Million Man, let me know what you guys thought. Let me know what you guys think about this character. If you've never heard about him, let me know. And you know what? I'll do a little giveaway this moment right now. So pay attention. I will give the $6 Million Man Season 6 Issue 1 out to one of you listeners out there that's interested in the $6 Million Man. Now, most likely, I will not get any answers for this, but let's try it out. Yeah, I mean, if nobody answers, then hey, I get to keep one of these comics. I'm going to give you one of the variants of the $6 Million one, the one that actually has the picture of one of the still shots from the TV show. Now, I know most of you might Google this, but hey, it is what it is. Let me give you the question that you must give the answer to win this freaking $6 Million Man issue 1 right here. So here goes. Pay attention. there was an actress who was pretty popular back in this day. She was a young, beautiful actress, and she did frequent appearances on The $6 Million Man. But she always played different characters. She always played different characters. She wasn't always playing returning as the same character. So it kind of threw you off a little bit. I was like, hey, what the? Whoa, okay, I guess she's playing somebody else in this character. But this actress was also married to Lee Majors while this TV show was going on. So that's probably why she had a lot of appearances on this TV show. But let me know who that actress is, and you could head over to facebook.com/the MGCM and leave me that answer. I prefer you direct message me on Facebook, so that way you don't give the answer away to somebody else. And I would like to see, let's see how many responses I got, but most likely I won't get any. I might be the only $6 million fan of my age range right now. But yeah, so if you're interested, you want to play, I'll send this comic, and this is to anywhere on this earth, anywhere that the post office delivers to. So yeah, you'll get this first issue of the $6 Million Man, and hopefully I'll be able to make a fan out of you. But yeah, so remember, head over to Facebook, facebook.com/the MGCM, and tell me who, direct message me, who is the actress that I'm talking about. So yeah, so there you go, the $6 Million Man. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, guys, all right, guys, thank you so much for joining me on another episode. This was kind of a different episode. I just wanted to talk to you guys about, you know, here and there. I will do this from time to time. Things you can look forward to is Days of Future Past is coming out. So I will be reviewing the Days of Future Past trade. And next week, hey, Godzilla comes out next week. Maybe I'll find a Godzilla book or something. Who knows? Maybe I'll have nothing to do with Godzilla. But yeah, thanks for listening. Remember to check me out on Twitter at the MGCM, Facebook, facebook.com/@the MGCM. And, I'm on Instagram, at Ivagrams, IVAGRAMS. And, hey, if you're listening to us on iTunes, leave me a review. You're listening to me on Stitcher, give me a little thumbs up. Wherever you're listening to me on YouTube, leave some comments below. Give me a little thumbs up, a little like. And, yeah. So, guys, thanks a lot. And I'll see you guys on the next episode.